Shalom, welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Today we learn Psalm number 121. Shir lama'alot. Esa enai ala ari me'ayin yebo ezri. Ezri me'im adonai oser shamayim ba'aretz. Al yiten lamot raglecha al yanum shamrecha. Hinei lo yanum velo yishan shamrei Yisrael. Adonai shamrecha adonai tzilcha al gad yiminecha. Yomam ha-shemesh lo yakeka ve'yarech ba'layla. Adonai yishmorcha mikol ra yishmor et nafshecha. Adonai yishmor tzeitcha vo'echa me'ata ve'ad olam. A song to Ma'alot. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who watches you will not slumber. Behold, he who watches Israel shall neither sleep nor slumber. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade upon your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Many commentators note the difference between the first song of Ma'alot, Shir HaMa'alot, with our psalm, which says Shir LaMa'alot. La grammatically points to something or someone. So who then are the Ma'alot to which the psalmist refers? Rashi begins by stating that the simple meaning, the pshat, is that this is the first of the psalms, even though it's out of order, and it initiates the songs by praising those Levites who ascended the stairs to sing in the temple. Thus, the Ma'alot are the Levites who are going up to the temple. Radak begins by saying that this is the only psalm with a lamed, and there's no real difference between them. But then he brings several midrashim, saying, no, this is to the lameot, the hundred Ma'alot. Or, he said, to a song who's the one who will eventually make Ma'alot for the righteous in the future. Yalkut Shimoni uses the theme of Harim, Esa Einai El Harim, to the mountains, to homiletically change the word to Horim, parents, and says the psalm is an ode to the forefathers. Sforno, as he continues to do throughout Tehillim, suggests the psalm is taking place in exile, where the psalmist looks up to the giants of the nations, the ministers, the kings, to see where his salvation would come from. Finally, Ibn Ezra and Meiri set the scene with Israel in a siege or in a battle, and they look up to the mountains for anyone to help defeat their enemy. As for the content, this psalm is unusual in that it presents a story or a dialogue between two individuals. Here is my version of the psalm, and I add quotation marks reflecting different people speaking. So it starts with the song with a sense, and one person says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains, from where will my help come? Oh, my help comes from God, maker of heaven and earth. And then someone else says, he will not let your foot fall, your keeper will not slumber. And then the first person says, behold, the keeper of Israel does not slumber or sleep. And someone responds, be God is your keeper, God is your guardian by your side. And someone finally says, the heat of the sun will not beat down on you, nor the moon at night. God will protect you, protect your soul, protect your goings and comings from now to eternity. We're not sure who is speaking to whom in this psalm. While the psalmist often switches the voice of the poem from second person to speaking to God versus third person to speaking about God, he usually directs his words either to God, to himself, to the people, or a combination of the three. This poem, it seems to introduce a new genre into the poetry of Tehillim. Drama. Amos Chacham interprets this psalm as a play where the drama takes place between a father and his son, two close friends, or someone similar like that. And it goes something like this. The title of the psalm, the play is Last Words. Here are the characters. One, the father. Two, the son. Three, God. Here's the setting. On a long road traveling from the town to its edge, ahead in the distance lie the great mountains, which lead to great vistas of new opportunity, but also to great unknowns. A young man stands with his father, sharing a moment before they part for a long time. That moment feels like an eternity. And the play begins. Son, raising his eyes to the awe-inspiring snow-capped mountain, says, from where will my help come? And then he answers his own question. Ezri me'im Hashem, the help will come from God, maker of heaven and earth. The father, aware of his son's worries, puts his arm around the son's shoulder and says, don't worry, he will not let your foot fall. your keeper will not slumber. The sons respond, affirming, yes, you're right. Behold, the keeper of Israel doesn't sleep nor slumber. The father, parting with some words of comfort and religious inspiration, remarks, don't worry, God will be your keeper. He will be your guardian by your side. The heat of the sun will not beat down on you, nor the moon in the night. God will protect you from all evil. Protect your soul. He will protect Yishmor Tzitcha V'Echa Me'ata V'Et Olam. Protect your goings and comings from now until eternity. There are no great new ideas of Torah being transmitted in this psalm. We do not get a sense that these two people are extremely righteous. Rather, they're average. The concerns are for the safety of the road, the long journey ahead, fear of leaving home. The man is not a philosopher nor a king, but a simple person accompanying his friend or relative, in our case, maybe his son, to the mountains. The poet here gains an advantage by maintaining anonymity. The feeling is that the author is not the great King David, nor a prophet or priest, but an unknown. Perhaps he is my neighbor, or perhaps even I. What is the average conversation between a father and his son, between two friends about to depart? The psalmist here feels that God, the third character, should take center stage. In a short poem of 8 verses, God, or a reference to him, appears no less than 7 times. God is the milah mancha, the leading word of the psalm. Indeed, the message here is that God should be the milah mancha, the leading word in our lives, not just in our poetry. Precisely because he would usually not be found in a situation such as this, he appears here as the central figure. It should be noted here that in the story, the son, about to embark on his journey, asks this is his question and answers himself for the first time. Only afterwards does he hear the same message from his father. In this case, the son is aware. He's intellectually sensitive. He's capable of grasping the message of the mountains. And what is the message? Perhaps he thinks, as I look up to the mountains, I am in awe of their beauty, their massiveness, their sheer greatness. It makes me feel low. I wonder at this awesome sight. From where do they come? Who is behind them? When looking at nature, specifically at the beauty of a mountain, a waterfall, a great forest, a skyscraper, a bustling city, or even spaceships exploring new worlds, the message of the psalm is, include God in your reaction. Ibn Ezra, who usually opts for a literal approach in his commentary, explains verse 4 as a reference to Jacob's dream, in which God promises to protect him, Ushmarticha b'chol asher telech, from all evil. It seems that Ibn Ezra concentrates on the wordplay, shemor, which the psalmist uses to describe God in our psalm. Jacob too was embarking on a forced journey. He looked at the forest, not the mountains, but had the same fears and anxiety of his impending trip. Without his father by his side, God comforted him and told him, I will protect you, Ushmarticha, in all of your endeavors. The psalm is most popular due to its recitation during times of stress, a war, an accident, a catastrophe, but perhaps that it's too late to begin to recite it. Instead of an antidote to tragedy, this should be the preventive medicine that protects us throughout our daily lives. The psalmist chose to use a different technique here in depicting the common day approach to God and his world. The more we learn, dissect, and analyze the Tehillim, the more we will learn from them all of the different ways that David and the other psalmists spoke to and taught us to speak to God.